Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Now, you may think you haven't heard SJD or their album Songs from a Dictaphone, but if you've been watching TV over the past 2 months, you probably have. I wrote this song for you as the sound of the Buy New Zealand Made campaign, and Beautiful Haze has been harnessed for that mystifying Monteith sad. I talked to SJD himself, Sean James Donnelly, about that and many other things. Sean, last year, before Songs from a Dictaphone came out, I remember talking to Stinky Jim, the proprietor of your record label, who made the point that retail sales weren't necessarily the key with this record, because he expected that you would be able to license some of the songs, and that's actually, in fact, happened.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, two big ad campaigns.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I presume you don't write the songs with TV ads in mind.
No, but I have written a few TV ads. I wonder if it's sort of sneaking in there, the old, catchy TV airwave kind of scenario. But that was just something that sort of, those songs, it just kind of magically happened. From my perspective anyway, I'm sure there are a lot of people working very hard to get those to happen, but yeah.
Well, Jim's theory was that your audience includes an abnormally high proportion of advertising agency creative directors.
Oh, that's probably a good 2/3 of the audience, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Were there either of those songs that when you finished them you thought, "Oh, that might go all right on TV"?
No. About Beautiful Haze, I thought that's as close as I've got to a classic New Zealand anthemic kind of song, which it didn't kind of turn out to be at all. And
How do you mean it didn't turn out to
well,
be?
Well,
because I sang it for a good two
well,
months.
Well, it's funny, it still ended up being, you know, the SJD target audience liked it, maybe it sort of expanded the audience slightly, but it didn't have the crossover potential I thought it might have had. I mean, I wasn't trying to write a song with crossover potential, but when I did it, I thought, oh, that's almost too commercial for me, but I'll put it on anyway because it's a good song, you know. But it sort of didn't turn out to be as much that as I expected it.
I guess the other thing about Songs from a Dictaphone, from my point of view, is that it's a body of songs that seem to work really well live. Did you write them differently than previous
I did,
albums?
I did have a thought. Well, I definitely did write them differently because I was much more just trying to let myself write pop songs. And from that perspective, I thought that would go well for the band too, you know. And they actually had a big hand in, like, putting those songs, you know, helping to sort of construct those songs. And there's some really good performances from the band on them and that kind of thing. So, yeah. There was a lot of... I did bring a lot of intentions to bear when I was making that album. But one of those intentions was not to get things on ad campaigns. But it just seemed to happen.
In terms of how you go about the work, I mean, is it like... I mean, Nick Cave, for example, who's, you know, very focused on songwriting, has talked about going to the office and clocking in at 9 o'clock and working like it's a real job.
I have pretty much the same thing going on. Very, very similar theory. It's when the kids go to school, then I write, and when they come back, I stop. Occasionally, if I'm into it, you know, I'll put them in front of a video and and get them to look after themselves if I've got something, you know, that seems particularly good. But that's the general story. I mean, having said that, you know, I do spend a lot of time mucking around. I mean, I was talking to Dave Dobbin about this, and he reckoned that you do have to spend a lot of time, what looks like to other people like wasting time, to actually come up with stuff. So
you've got to be there when the muse comes calling.
Kind of, yeah. You've got to sort of, you've got to have make an appointment with the muse, but then the muse is often late.
Now, one song on the album that's attracted quite a bit of comment is Jesus. And it's not a personal expression of belief, I gather, so much as, you know, something to do with your affection for gospel music.
Well, to be honest, it's not an expression of belief either. I mean, it's just, to me, it's more a question, you know. I think a lot of people, probably of all the songs on the album, I've had the most people object to having that song on the album, you know, for a variety of reasons, but mainly it's the lyrics. But to me, it's very, very simple. It's like, it's almost stupid kind of perspective. You know, it's the old, well, if, you know, how can God allow so much pain and suffering in the world? You know, it's kind of C.S. Lewis problem of pain stuff. You know, that's basically what it comes down to. But written in a sort of very simplistic, gospel-y sort of way. I don't think it entirely succeeds. I think those people that don't particularly like it in a way are right. But, you know, I had a week to finish the album, so what are you going to do?
And, of course, you know, it's summer, it's the festival season, and people maybe aren't even thinking so much about the lyrics and about the record. You know, people want to have a good time in summer. Do you enjoy the festival
thing? Well, it's one of those things that... We don't really get on the festival circuit. It's not for lack of trying, and it seems to be an absolutely essential part of making it. You know, increasing your audience in New Zealand. You either get radio play or you get on the festival circuit. There's not too much else to choose from if you want to expand. But for one reason or another, I don't know whether it's our collective ages. You know, which you know are well over. Probably 150 or something ridiculous like that, but I think that's probably got something to do with it, but also I think that we're not, a lot of people don't know us still as being a live contender, really. I mean, Big Day Out was good, you know, we got a lot of people came along and enjoyed it and stuck around, and
and now you've got WOMAD to look for.
Yeah, we've got WOMAD to look for, yeah, which is going to be really fun, because, I mean, I've done a few WOMADs before, not playing, but sort of attending, and I played it with Don before, but, that's going to be great. There's always awesome music, and I think, in a way, that's kind of our crowd a little bit, you know, slightly older, slightly more discerning, and but still, you know, able to handle a bit of weirdness too, you know. Mm.
It's that little bit of weirdness that means you can play both.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the little bit of weirdness that makes it beautiful.
Have you thought about touring further afield? I realise that, you know, people in the band have kids and that sort of thing. Is that going to be possible for you?
People in the band that have kids is basically me. I don't know, to be honest. I mean, it has come up a few times. Obviously, and people do say that is the sort of music that, you know, would probably do okay overseas. You know, it doesn't necessarily sound like New Zealand music, but it's still a wait and see. I mean, I realise that that's a bit of a cop-out answer, because you've got to be the sort of person who goes out and makes it happen, I think. And the bands that have done well, you know, are the bands that have actually, you know, like, just knuckled down and got over there and lived. But I can't really go and live overseas at the moment, so it's very much a wait and see.
So what are your plans for 08? What's going to happen with the band this year?
My plans are to make some more music much more quickly than I have in the past. I mean, 3 years to make an album to sell, you know, a few thousand is probably too long. I like the fact that Van Morrison made his best, you know, 5 or 6 albums in about a 3 or 4 year period. And so that's my next provocation, is to try and make about 6 albums in 3 years. You know, broad strokes, not get so fussy about it. Just do all the things I wanted to do. Do my country album, do my gospel album, do my proper synth pop album, and to hell with the consequences, really.
That sounds great, actually.
Yeah, well, it sounds great to me. It sounds great to sort of maintaining a sort of an
audience. What's brought on that turn of mind? Because you do have had that reputation as a very meticulous writer, producer, one man guy in the studio. And now you're talking about maybe like loosening up a bit.
Yeah, I do need to loosen up in general in life, I'm sure. But it's seeing, you know, it's the sort of, you know, the Leonard Cohens of this world, you know, who take, you know, 8 years, or Scott Walker 10 years, to make an album, and they explain about the absolute terror that the process brings them, and how, you know, anally kind of slow the whole thing is. It's just really a looking ahead thing. I don't want to be that guy at all. You know, I want to be a happy person.
Oh, well, best of luck for WOMAD, and I'm looking forward to the country album and the synth pop album.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Russell. But not the gospel album.
Maybe.
you remain unconvinced on that score.
And that's our show. That's the end of our summer of love, or at least summer of festivals for the afternoon. News is coming up in a minute. We're out of here. I'd like to give our usual thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this hour possible. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Public Address Radio on Radio Live. If you missed some of this, we want to catch some of it up. We've got podcasts for everybody on publicaddress.net/radio. I'm David Slack.
And I'm Russell Brown. Goodbye.